What's going on, Badger Nation? Welcome to the PPC Den, the world's first and longest running show all about Amazon advertising, here to make your Amazon PPC life a little bit easier and a little bit more profitable. Today on the show, we have the great Mike Freaky. He's been on the show before, and he's always brought such great tips, tricks, and strategies to our show that are definitely going to add to your arsenal to get better results. I'm going to sort of preview what we're going to be talking about right here, right now. Pulled up on my screen is the Search Query Performance Report for a specific ASIN. And this is something that we've talked about before on this show to a great degree. And what Mike brings on board this week is a new way to look at it, which I really, really like, which I'm going to preview here. So we all know the Search Query Performance Report. If you don't know what it is, we'll explain. If you've never used it, we will help inspire you to go use it. Basically, it has all my search queries. It has how many times it was searched, what the search volume was. It'll tell me how many impressions there were, what my share of impressions were, how many clicks came from this keyword for all of my competitors and myself, how many purchases total with like all the competitors versus just me. And one thing that the Search Query Performance doesn't give you is conversion rate. So what happens if I go down here and I add in extra columns for everybody else's conversion rate, like the everyone's conversion rate versus just my conversion rate? Well, you end up with some interesting things here. What we're going to be talking about today is, what do you do when everybody's conversion rate is worse than yours? So in this case, Badger Blankets for Honey is 14% conversion rate. My conversion rate is 22%. And what do you do when you are worse than the competition? So here, Badger Fox for the House was 15% conversion rate, whereas my conversion rate was 11%, so much lower. Mike's going to talk about that, how to address those, and what to focus on. It's a really good episode. I love this. You're absolutely going to learn something. So be sure to tune in, and I will see you inside the Badger Den.
I've launched campaigns and picked keywords. I've got my bit. Set placements too. Now bad mistakes I've made a few. I've had my share of wrong keywords, but I've gone through. We are the PPC Den, my friend.
Mike, love the initials, number one. I got to say, MF initials, the best, perhaps the best you can be. Yes. Welcome back to our initials are MF. What's your middle name?
It's Paul. So we got a P.
Ooh, almost had the same initials, but we'll settle with the first and last MF right on. Mike from Perch, thanks so much for coming back on the show. I absolutely love the last episode that we did together. And it's great to have you back. Thanks for Boston is some cold blizzard land right now. We're recording this in the middle of a Arctic blast that most of America is getting. So how is it up there? You know, do all you do is just stay inside and get work done, grind on Amazon advertising?
Yeah, staying inside, enjoying myself. I'm going to have to get out and shovel, make sure it doesn't freeze on me. But otherwise, very grateful that I have a garage. So,
what's the snowblower or shovel strategy?
Ooh, I love this question. I got myself an electric shovel, and I tell you, I do not use it at all. It's meant to be like part way between like an actual like shovel experience and a snowblower, where you just
what is an electric shovel?
So you plug it in to a extension cord, and you basically just like hold it trigger. And it shovels, and then it just sort of like sucks up the snow and like pushes it out to the side for you. So it's the same sort of shovel action. It's meant to be like a if a snowblower is overkill because you don't have that big of a spot to shovel, then you'd get this. And it honestly takes more time and effort than just regular shoveling. So I've gone back to a regular shovel.
Wow. Well, shout out to everyone who's just out there breaking their backs shoveling snow. I actually really enjoy shoveling snow. It's a good workout. You get out there, you get a good sweat on.
Oh, yeah.
See how fast you can go. Do your neighbors. It's great stuff. You know, it's not cold. This hot Amazon topic you're going to talk about. So we are going to talk about one of my favorite tools, the Search Query Performance Report. And this has remained one of the best sources of keyword information, bar none. There's no other report like it elsewhere. I'm really waiting. I think the Amazon space will change a lot once this goes into the API.
Yeah.
And then you have software providers just like doing all different kinds of things with the search query performance data. So I'm really excited for the future of the search query performance. And, you know, they've had some adjustments. I don't think they've had many updates in the last couple of months. I can't think of the last update they did. I think the last meaningful one was when they rolled out per ASIN analysis, but that seems like it's been there for quite some time.
And then just making it downloadable was the other big one.
That was a nice one, yeah. So, yeah, we've covered on the show before different ways to interact with it, you know, how to export it, put it into a Google Sheet, and let it tell you trends over time, because that's one limitation of this report. You can't see trends over time. So if you wanted a particular search query to see how you did, you know, this time last year versus now, or last month versus now, you sort of have to change the date range, and you can't stack two different date ranges or several different date ranges on it. So that makes it a little tricky. But one thing we're talking about today, which we've never talked about, is using Search Query Performance Report for launches, which I think is a really interesting topic. When you mentioned it, I was like, wow, I never really consider that component, which is selfishly one of my favorite reasons of doing this show, is that I get to talk and hear so many different kinds of strategies. So using the search query performance as part of your launches, before we get into that, could you actually just, in your own words, just tell us, just in case there's anyone out there who has never used the search query performance, help us go from zero to one on search query performance. What is a search query? What is the search query performance? What does it measure? What does it give us? Talk to us at a high level overview, just in case anyone has never heard this or used this report before.
Of course, absolutely. Search query performance report. Well, we'll start with what is a search query?
Yeah.
This is what people actually are typing into Amazon to find their products. So if you're like me, you sell soap, how are people finding you? They may be typing in antibacterial soap. Once you've typed that in, you're generating a SERP. And now Amazon is tracking every single action a person is taking on that results page. And that's turning into what we know as the search query performance report.
Yeah. And I also want to, I always like to point this out. So a lot of times in the Amazon space, you will hear the word keyword get used a lot. Like, oh, my keyword, what keyword? I think that there is a I always like to say you bid on a keyword in your account and then people search queries. So like you type in search queries into the box, but you bid on keywords because your keyword might not match up with the actual search query or the search term. Like if you have a broad match keyword, it's possible that you bid broad match cell phone case. And the thing that the person actually searches to trigger your keyword might be Android cell phone case or something like that. So there might be a mismatch between your keyword and your search query. So I always like to mention that. However, a lot of times it is so often interchanged as like, oh, what's the keyword that somebody searched? And it's like generally, it's like part of the vernacular. It's not technically correct, but I might find myself slipping like, what's the keyword that got searched? And it actually is incorrect to say that. So yes.
Yeah, spot on.
Continue. Yeah.
Within this report, we can take a look at one, I don't want to say anything is most important because I'm going to say a lot of things are most important here. But the first most important thing is we can actually see the search volume associated with these terms. So when someone is actually typing in a specific term into Amazon, how many times is that happening over a week, a month, a quarter? That's a really big piece for us to just better identify what's our opportunity size. Is there a lot of people searching in this space? But then from there, on each of those products, we can see how many product views or impressions are being generated, how many clicks are actually being resulted from these searches. And it's still not going to be perfect. You need to take the numbers a bit with a grain of salt. Clicks, for example, do not incorporate the, call it organic widgets. So any of the like Amazon, I think the Amazon recommended brands sections are like the editorials is what I'm thinking of. The editorial section that actually doesn't count as a click on the SERP for some reason or another. But anyway, we can track this all the way down to the cart ad view and to the purchase view. And from there, you can start to get really clever in analyzing, well, if I know my product is converting X number of times versus Y number of clicks, and I can see that the overall market is converting Z number of times over A number of clicks, you can now start to figure things out, like what is my conversion rate versus the market average conversion rate on a term.
Exactly. Yeah. So to sort of recap that, it tells you the actual search volume, which is really amazing. So we get real data right from Amazon about how many times certain searches are searched, different search queries are searched. I could have also said how many keywords are what keywords are searched, but it'll tell you the actual search volume. Then it will tell you how many of those end in a click, you know, how many searches end in a click. And again, it's kind of what happens when people start using this and they begin to compare their like advertising performance versus their search query performance. There's a lot of incongruencies because they're measuring different things. So what I always like to recommend people as you begin to dig into this, and you might look at a search query from the search query performance report and then go and compare it with your advertising. Sometimes advertising, it might, you know, you might have 25 sales from a keyword and then you go and look at the search query performance and it'll say that you had like 2 sales. That does not invalidate the data in either places. They're just measuring different things. So that's worth sort of mentioning to people as they begin to dig in. I always like to give people that caveat that like search query performance is really measuring search query, search engine result page performance, whereas your advertising can include lots of other things baked in there. So, you know, you get product page impressions for keywords that you bid on, which is kind of strange, and vice versa. So it's always worth sort of factoring that in when you look at these metrics. With all that being said, so I'd just like to mention all the caveats with using this. So it tells you your share, competitor share of all these very valuable cart ads and purchases on a per query basis for your entire brand or on a per product basis. So I love this report. Everyone should love this report.
I agree. I think one thing that's really exciting about this, so a lot of the work I've been doing lately has been starting to dive into product launches and how can we bring new products into the Amazon ecosystem in a way that, one, hopefully isn't breaking the bank, but gives us a successful view of how are we actually selling this product over time? Are we setting good organic ranks? And are we positioning ourselves for long-term success so that we can have confidence to place extra POs, right?
Yeah.
And I think that SQP has been a really pivotal spot for me in evaluating whether or not a product should get its next PO and sort of giving me a good way to aim for what success, how success should be measured. What I mean by that is I may go into any given launch with an expectation on maybe here are the top 10 keywords that I'm sort of defining I need to succeed here, right? Like if I do not succeed on these 10 keywords or queries, there's no way that I could possibly generate enough sales to justify placing another order, getting my minimum order size in and move forward with this as a stage two product. But upfront, a lot of those terms are kind of just a best guess. Like I don't actually know for some products, especially toys is an area where very rarely do your top volume terms end up being people searching for exactly the toy you are selling, because parents don't know what toys their kids want. Parents are searching toys for four-year-old boys, right? And so it's trying to identify which of these terms are you able to convert on, and then tracking your funnel metrics across the search query performance report to see, do I want to be investing more in here?
So walk me through that process, because you said something really interesting that I want to be sure I understood. When you launch a product, you have some sense of keywords that you know you need to be somewhat successful with.
Yeah.
Can you define what you mean? Like, how do you know it's those keywords? So like, let's say you're launching a product, you identify these keywords, like what about these keywords in particular are sort of make or break for you?
Yeah. Awesome question. So we'll start out with, call it maybe a Helium 10 output of, we'll take a competitor product, or we'll take a product that's already in our portfolio. What are we trying to build off of? What are we trying to compete with? We'll generate whatever the top sales driving terms are there. We'll overlay that with the actual search volume assigned to everything. And that will give us a sort of seed list of terms that we think are important. And then those seed terms, those will go into our initial advertising campaigns once we've launched. We maybe put a coupon on top of it, or just a really competitive price so that we can get the initial sales rolling. But then from there, we'll also have maybe some auto campaigns. We'll set each of those seed terms up with a broad match in addition to the exact match. And that allows us to see, well, what other related terms are we able to convert on here? What we usually find is that this initial list of top 10 high priority terms is not actually our top 10 best terms. Okay. There's always some overlap, but we usually end up finding out, actually, there's some really broad natures to a vacuum storage type of a search that's just, oh, this is too broad. We have a product that is adding a feature into the space. And when we're going after the highest degree of searchability, while there's, a lot of search volume to it, those people don't necessarily, one, know that they're looking for a specific feature within a vacuum storage bag. And so at that point, they're just searching based purely off of price or purely off of rating. We can't necessarily win on those yet. From that view, we can now start to identify what are the other terms in the SQP that are successful for us. And one of my favorite things I've started to do here is I look at I think right now I'm using a basis of, call it 100 for every month of data that I'm looking at. And so I'll say, show me any search term where I have less than 5 orders and the market is selling more than 100 for each individual month of data I'm looking at. So if I'm looking at the first 2 months, I'll make that 10 and 200. And when I see those ratios of less than 10 and greater than 200, I entirely remove that from my high priority list. To me, that's giving me the indication that my launched product is so far and away clearly not succeeding in that term that it's actually a distraction for me. Mm-hmm. And now that is keeping me from investing in terms where I already have a more reasonable path to acquiring a larger market share.
Because, I mean, it makes sense to have, I think that's an interesting concept too, where sometimes people do get really tied to terms that they really want to be successful, but you're fighting an uphill battle.
Yeah.
And there are naturally keywords, if for reasons, like you mentioned, you might not originally anticipate, where you just have this tailwind to help pushing you forward, and it's almost like you want to lean into it, and sort of the search query performance can tell you that. So it's interesting. So just to sort of list out those steps at a high level, because you said a lot of good things there. You are launching, and then you are evaluating search queries that you have a tiny percentage or a tiny amount of purchases. So maybe it's 5, for example.
Yep.
When everyone else is maybe doing, like, what would you say? 20? Did you say something like 20x? And like, you're just so far off?
Exactly. Yeah. It was a 100 to 5 ratio.
Right. So basically what you're doing is you're seeing the purchase rate from others, or the count of purchases from others, be so far ahead of where you are. So like 20x higher, in that case, 100 to 5. It's so much higher that even if you made that keyword perform twice as good, you're still 10 times behind everybody else, as opposed to, you know, sort of queries that are closer to the strike zone of where like, oh, if you get just a 20% boost from these, it's going to equate to way more sales than 100% boost down there. If that makes sense. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. It's also just trying to understand where is my likelihood of success? And this usually comes down to terms that, again, have a lot of search volume, but for one reason or another, you may not have that inherent buyability on it. A good example that I've run into recently is a product launch around a like specialty coffee cup, and it has some sort of special like compressible feature to it, right? In that instance, some of our top terms that, according to the search query performance report, claims we are relevant for, it's within our top 10 every right. given week of search rank. It's the word cup.
Mm-hmm.
Now, cup sells a lot on Amazon. Cup does not sell a lot right. for us.
Right. Perfect example, yeah. Right, so that's a term that, because you know, you have to figure Amazon's doing some, to get that search query score, they're doing something like total volume multiplied by total purchases. And then they come up with some algorithm to rank those terms. And yeah, you're going to end up with terms that would make no sense to go after them.
Exactly. But because right. they're so high search volume, they're going to be at the top of your SQP.
Yeah. So basically, like after a launch, you know, you're figuring 2-3 weeks after, it's almost like, what do we have our initial launch, and like, what do we do at week two? Like, how do we change things up at week two? So the search query performance can tell you at week two, at week three, hey, these are terms to double down on, essentially.
I don't know. It can tell you where you want to double down. It can tell you where you want to back off. I think an exciting piece for me is trying to identify where are the areas that we are already converting better than market average. And then let me start bringing that into my advertising reports. What's our top of search impression share there? Because if we are maxing out our top of search impression share from ads and we have a really strong conversion rate, I have to start looking elsewhere. But yeah.
Walk someone through the process, because when you go and you look at the search query performance report, it actually doesn't, you mentioned converting double.
Yep.
What do you mean when you say converting double? Are you looking at total count of purchases and then your brand's count of purchases? Like, what numbers are you looking at to basically determine that? Like, what can someone do to go to the search query performance report and download it? What do they have to do to find terms that they're converting better than average?
Yes. So the way I would look at this, download your search query performance report, take the ASIN count of purchases divided by the ASIN count of clicks, and then do the same thing, total market count of purchases versus market total clicks. Those are going to give you two numbers for your effective conversion rate and the market average conversion rate. Now, if you wanted to, you could take one extra step and say, well, take me out of the market. But I don't think that's really necessary for most people. From there, just look at this as purely bigger number wins. If you have a higher than market average conversion rate, you should be able to operate with some degree of confidence that the organic sales you get as you build your organic rank will pay yourself back, versus any instance that you're looking at it and saying, hey, my average conversion rate, and we're assuming, right, this is a launch, you likely have a lower than normal price point, maybe you have a coupon on, but in some capacity you are priced in a way to incentivize sales so that you can get initial reviews. So there's a certain amount of customers that you're only getting now because of your price point. Well, if your conversion rate at this point in time is still not able to hit on the market average, you're likely not going to be successful on that term, period.
Yeah. So let's actually, I would love to maybe even do a quick example. I'm going to share my screen here in just a second. Just getting my screen ready. Yeah, this might be a fun use case just to sort of, so we can maybe identify some like above average terms. Let me go to an ASIN view and okay, we got that. And then we got that. When you look at this, we're looking at it on a weekly basis because we're looking at it like after a launch, right? Okay. Okay. So I'm here and I have, can we take Badger Blanket
as
an example here? So get searched 42,000 times a month. It's my number one search query score. So what we're trying to do here, and maybe I'll open up a little sheet to run through this. So what we're looking at here, when we get to the search funnel for clicks, we have for Badger Blanket, there was 25,268 clicks.
Yep.
I'll write that number down.
Yep.
Okay. So we've got that written down.
Then we have
and then
for your ASIN.
Mm-hmm. Don't ask me why it's reversing that. We'll fix it in post. 107 ASIN count. And then we'll go down to purchases and we'll write down this number. Okay. So you have your clicks, your ASIN count. This is how many clicks my ASIN got. And then our total purchase and our ASIN count from here. So our next step is?
Next step from there, we're just going to be dividing those two numbers from each other. So in this case, it'll be the 16 over the, I think that should be 107, and then the 3965 over the 25268.
I'm sorry, this is like our click-through rate. And then this is going to be our CVR. Something like that.
Yeah, almost.
Is this
not quite? So
this is our share. This is our share of purchases.
Yeah, that's your share of purchases. Now, in this instance, you'll want to do H3 over D3. It's going to be yours, and then H2 over D2 will be the market average. And so in this instance, we're slightly below market average conversion rate. To be honest with you, that doesn't really bother me because of how close those numbers are. This is showing me that we're pretty well in line with the sales rate that the market is doing. I would still feel comfortable investing on that term and trying to see how we can capture more of the traffic that we're trying to get out of here.
So what would make this to a point where you would give up on this keyword?
The ones I've seen, one, anything under 2%. Now, granted, there's a point in which if you're dealing with very high AOV items, that might be okay. But for the vast majority of launches I'm involved with, we're really shooting for something between 10 and 20%. And so anything under 2%, even under 3%, can just be a non-starter that says, revisit, at the very least, revisit your product page. Something is going wrong here. And granted, I've run into some instances in which maybe your issue with your launch is that you are trying to too quickly sell at a target price as opposed to leaning in and thinking of your launch as an acquisition play, not to acquire repeat customers, because a lot of launches maybe aren't for repeat type products, but you're just trying to acquire ranks and acquire reviews is what you're really going after.
Got it. Yeah, so this makes total sense. So in a situation like this, if our conversion rate was 1.8 and the market average was 15.6, it would be easy to walk away from this.
Exactly.
And then, of course, if we saw something like this, maybe where we are doing better than
the market, that if I saw numbers like that, that would give me a lot of confidence to say, how can I maximize my advertising as much as possible? And the challenging part is sometimes when you end up in this sort of situation where your conversion rate is that much higher, it might be because you have your target price, but plus a 40% coupon. You're making it impossible for somebody to not want to purchase from you, right? We don't want to over-index if we think that tomorrow's conversion rate will not match yesterday's conversion rate. But this can at least start to give you that confidence to say, this is a good product. We want to invest in this in some capacity. Might be price, it might be ads, it might be a combination.
Call me crazy too, but this seems like an activity you can do to because when you look at the search query performance report, you get 1,000 terms.
Yeah.
And it can often be, you look at that and you're like, well, what do I do about this stuff? It's possible you can run this analysis, which is basically, you know, the average conversion rate for the product, which, you know, we just did it like this, you know, clicks and purchases, drag that column down. Now you have the average conversion rate, and then you do your clicks and orders and you get your conversion rate. And the conversion rate is very different than like the share. Cause like in the search query performance, you have the share, and that doesn't mean as much as like your actual conversion rate. So like understanding where you stack up based on conversion rate can be really valuable at telling you like where to lean into and like where to back off. And take that list of 1,000 terms and turn it more into do you know approximately, like if you were to do that on an entire search query report, what percentage of keywords are going to convert like at average or better?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Do you know this? Have you ever done this?
I have not done that exact. What I have done, because I try to break this down into very bite-sized morsels, is I'm usually able to get myself down to a top 15, so 1-5 terms. And the mix that I'm looking at is my conversion rate more or less at or above market average? And then I'll also add in my market share, which again, like fully acknowledging, you can end up with instances, especially in launch. If you were talking week one, week two, it's tough to look at market share much at all. But once you're saying, hey, I'm 6 weeks in, I can start to look at a rolling 4 week average of my performance. Then I'll start to look at anything that has a market share greater than 5%. And that's going to be the core terms that I've found success on so far.
I love it. You know, I mean, even doing just that analysis, I've done so many kind of crazy things with search query performance, and a lot of it has been trend analysis.
Yeah.
Which is like, what's a product that I've gained traction on? Or what's a keyword that I've gained traction on? And what's a keyword that I want to either turn traction around, so maybe I'm slipping, I want to bid more aggressively on it, or maybe I have a good share, I want to lean into it. What I have never done was sort of like map out that average conversion rate for everybody, and then the conversion rate that I have for those keywords, and then basically use that as a indicator of like where I have an unfair advantage. Like just naturally, for whatever reason, I'm converting more than average on these terms. I would want as much traffic as I could for those things.
100%. I think the last tip I would recommend people do, so do this analysis, break things out, maybe add in a sort of status column that just says, if my conversion rate is within 20% of the market average, then I'm considering this as a reasonably good term. Go into Ad Console, download a search term impression share report, and then just map in your trailing, whatever date range makes you happy. I typically am looking at my at least trailing 2 weeks, if not trailing 30 days, and just start to bring in what is my max top of search impression share right now.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff. Because again, like it might not make sense to increase your bids on something if you're already tapped out on your top of search impression share.
Exactly.
Yeah. This is a great little system.
Yeah.
That's really good. Mike, I think we've done it.
I think we figured it out. Scratched the code.
Right on. Well, I hope you stay thawed out in Boston.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Have a good one. Where can people find you, interact with you? Thank you for sharing these awesome tips today.
Yeah. LinkedIn is where I'm most active. LinkedIn.com/in/MikeFreaky. Pretty easy domain to find me at. And I love talking all things Amazon. So if anybody wants to reach out, chat some fun Amazon ad stuff, I'm always down for it.
Yeah. Awesome. Mike, thank you so much for coming back on the show. Absolute pleasure. Everyone else, I'll see you next week here on the PPC Den podcast.
Thank you so much.